psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
The first thing you got to say is, gosh, if I don't have the money, I can't afford it. Sounds like grandmother.
That's not an appendix. That's not a blob of tissue. It is a baby.
Rarely, when we're doing this broadcast, do I feel my blood pressure go up, because what we just heard there is difficult to comprehend.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
You know, Dad and Luann, for centuries, the Christian church has been caring for the poor and the needy all across the world. That example was set in scriptures. John the Baptist in Luke 3:11 said that the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same.
Well, and Ryan, I even think of those wonderful relief organizations out there like Samaritan's Purse, Compassion International, so many others, Doctor, who lend a hand to the poor, and they bring them the good news of Jesus Christ.
And there's the key, Luann and Ryan, offering people the gospel in addition to meeting their physical needs is what is significant, and the two organizations you just mentioned are certainly doing that. It seems that relief work, however, has become very fashionable lately, and so many celebrities have adopted a specific cause that they're championing. And recently, we have seen many telethons where natural disasters such as Katrina and the tsunami affected the poor. And that's wonderful. We want to see people excited about helping those that are in need. And indeed, the Bible commands us to do that. But giving a cup of clean water is not sufficient if we don't also offer them the cup of the living water that Christ spoke of in John chapter 4. And that was, of course, the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. Now, Ryan, you have co-written a book about this issue called Humanitarian Jesus, Social Justice and the Cross. And we've invited your co-author, Christian Buckley, to be with us today in the studio to talk about the book and the concepts within it. Christian is an attorney. He's a graduate of UCLA School of Law and the founder of the Glue Network, which is a social media-based marketing company. Christian, we're delighted to have you here, and welcome to Family Talk.
It's great to be here. It's just a real pleasure.
Well, let's get right to it. Christian, I'd like to start by asking you something that you wrote about in Humanitarian Jesus. And it related to how corporate America seems to be changing its attitude toward advertising. You know, corporations, for the most part, have one major objective, which is to make money, lots and lots of money. But it seems as though it now has a new emphasis in many cases having to do with the value of charitable work. And maybe the end result is the same, but are corporations changing? And if so, give us an example of that.
It is phenomenal, the shift that is happening in marketing today, from your general social marketing to what is called cause-based marketing. And the theory there is it goes all the way back to American Express and the Statue of Liberty campaign that they did a long time ago to increase, and I guess they donated proceeds from card use to Statue of Liberty, and it increased their participation.
To the renovation.
To the renovation efforts, and it increased their participation immensely. So over the last 10, 20 years, cause marketing increased slowly, and just this year it's exploded. So there'll be $1.6 billion with a B spent on cause marketing. And a great example of this is Pepsi. They pulled all of their Super Bowl ads and are now running the refresh campaign. So basically what they've said is go online, tell us what you care about, vote for it, and we'll give money away. And so it's a way for them to connect with young people for the most part and do campaigns to engage them in a relationship with Pepsi and then give a little bit of money away. And it works phenomenally well because they have realized that young demographics, so we're talking high school and college age students, care about cause. They care about seeing brands making an impact in the world. And so large brands are shifting to a perspective of saying, we need to convince consumers that we care about causes. And by doing that, we'll increase our sales.
One of the things you were trying to say in your book, Humanitarian Jesus, is that that shift among younger Americans has implications for the gospel, of their theology, of their understanding of the scriptures, or lack thereof, and for the church itself. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. The aftermath of this, if you will, when you say, okay, so corporate America is spending $1.6 billion. What does that mean for the family? What does that mean for the church? Well, what it means is that young Christians today are being fed essentially the idea that if they care about causes, if they care about hurting people, then it's a liberal agenda. The liberals are essentially saying, liberal media and liberal wings of the church are saying, this is our agenda. This is what we care about. You should be part of us.
And if you want to identify with it, get with the program.
Get with the program. Or the flip side of that is to say, this is more popular. This is an easier version of Christianity. This is easier than talking about sin and hell and redemption. It's easier for me to care about a homeless person in the name of Christianity. No one was ever angry at Mother Teresa for caring about people in India. People will be angry with you if you say there is a God and he loves you and he sent his son to die for you and you're a sinner. That is an offensive gospel. The social gospel, out of that context, is not offensive. And therefore, if you're on a college campus and you want to fit in, what are you going to do?
And one of them, the one we represent, is seen as judgmental.
We were talking about that earlier, that you get pigeonholed, you get put into a box, and somehow because I'm politically and theologically conservative, I can't be compassionate. And Christian and I worked together, and he said, you know, people know so much about what you're against, they don't know enough about what you're for, and you are compassionate, and you care about the homeless, and you care about clean water, and you care about, you know, abolition and slavery, and that's why we want to talk about this.
The very reason Focus on the Family was started, and now Family Talk has been started, is because we care about people.
That's right.
I mean, that's the essence of it. First of all, we care about their souls, and then we care about their families and their welfare.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we care about. When I was at Focus on the Family, we gave $2 million to tsunami relief in Indonesia and elsewhere. We gave $1 million to Katrina relief. That never gets in the paper.
Of course not.
Nobody recognizes that.
That's right.
But I've often said that it's like we have a sign out in front that says we care about you. And we do. But that doesn't get reported. And so what that tells you is that there is a political agenda behind this criticism of conservatives. You know, of trying to make it look like that you're these judgmental people that want to send everybody to hell. Was that kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah, absolutely. And it surprises. I did an interview recently with a secular station, and a lot of the questions came from that point of view. You know, isn't this the minority thought in Christianity? Aren't you really just about judgmentalism? And I said, you know, it might surprise you that the idea of giving to a stranger and caring about someone you've never met didn't even exist before Christ walked the earth. It didn't even exist before the early church. And that's not from a Christian perspective. That's from a historical perspective. The idea that you would give money to a stranger or give your home to a stranger or open your heart to a stranger, that didn't exist. And yet today, and you know, Haiti is a huge example of this. What do you hear about in Haiti? You hear about Sean Penn. You hear about Wycliffe John. You hear about liberal actors. The same thing with Katrina. Who's doing the work in Katrina? Well, it's, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so, and typically they're people who are associated with a liberal agenda. What you don't hear about are Christian organizations like World Vision and Samaritan's Purse and others who have been doing work in those places for decades. And the reason for that is, I think, twofold. One, like Ryan just said, the impression is totally wrong. The impression that Christians don't care, that conservative evangelical Christians don't care, is simply wrong, and it's not talked about. And secondarily, what is getting more airtime and more play are those quote-unquote Christians who are now moving away from the gospel and saying it's easier to talk in terms of doing good than it is in terms of sin. Mm-hmm. And so what we're finding, and what I found and what Ryan found in doing these interviews is, you know, wouldn't it just be better if we could just get kids to love each other and care about the hurting and
can't
help
we all
people?
Just get along?
Yeah, and you hear this in speeches. You hear this in Barack Obama's speeches a lot, that he correlates Christianity with the Golden Rule, as if the Golden Rule is Christianity. Do unto others, help each other. What we have in common is bigger than what we don't. Well, that's not Christianity. That's not the core of Christianity. The core of Christianity is we are broken. We are all broken. We're all filled up with sin. And yes, there are hurting people around the world, and yes, we need to care about them. But without redemption, without them meeting Christ and having that encounter, what are we really doing in the long run?
You know, when I was in college, I remember a professor making a really big point out of the fact that much of life is presented as a choice between two options, and you have to take one of the two. Hmm. The truth of the matter is that both are often correct, and you're not forced to choose between the two. We believe in the message of salvation, of sin, and then repentance and forgiveness and regeneration. We believe in all that. There is no other remedy for the disease of sin. But we also believe in caring about people. Jesus mm-hmm. went about doing good and healing people and caring for them. And so it's not an either or, it's both. Luann, I really want to know what you're thinking, because often what you're thinking is what represents an awful lot of people. And do you see this dilemma that's presented here mm-hmm. as a threat to the gospel as it's presented and understood?
Well, absolutely. And if you're talking about the 18 to 24-year age, I have two children in that right now. So one's on a college campus, secular college campus, gets hit with it. The other just graduated. They're constantly permeated with the whole teasing, the last election was a great idea. Their peers desperately wanted to vote for Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. Why? Because of this social cause, these social justices. And it was a very hard mm-hmm. debate for them to enter to bring in the issues of morality that they mm-hmm. stood firmly against. My thought here, Christian, is the perception is perpetuated by the fact that in Scripture, in Matthew 6, it says we're supposed to do these things in secret. We are supposed to give to the needy. We're not mm-hmm. supposed to go out there and proclaim it. We are supposed to do it quietly in secret, that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. So even as Christians, we're contributing to this perception that we're not out there.
We just don't talk about it a lot.
Because we're quiet about it.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I found that it's interesting in interviewing somebody like Franklin Graham. Franklin was such an interesting guy because, you know, what an outspoken proponent of the gospel and morality and standing up for
yes.
right. And yet at the same time, he doesn't see a difference. I said, you know, I asked him, I don't know if it made it into the book, but I asked him, you know, is there a difference between preaching the gospel and what you do at Samaritan's Purse? And he said, no. Mm-hmm. He said, it's all one thing. I'm just living Jesus for people. I want people to meet Jesus, and they need to, you know, they need to come to a saving knowledge, because it doesn't do them any good for me to improve their life and for them to die and go to hell. And there was a guy yeah. in India. I interviewed somebody from India, and, you know, he grew up on the streets of India, an orphan, eating newspaper to fill up his stomach. Mm. And I expected him to come to me and say, the church needs to give us more money. It's all about social programs. And he didn't. He said, we need the church to come into these communities with redemption and to bring gifts of charity, to bring schools, to bring medical treatment, to alleviate poverty. But it has to come with the gospel. Otherwise, there's no redemption. And here's a guy that grew up in starvation, and he's saying one without the other doesn't make any sense. It won't do any good. You can't have lasting cultural reform if people aren't redeemed. In fact, he made a comment to me. He said, you know, the poor man is prideful in his poverty, and the rich man is prideful in his riches. He said, you know, I've seen times where two homeless guys were next to each other, and I gave one of them food, and he got up and walked away and didn't share it with the other one. He yeah. said, so without the gospel, what are we doing?
Hmm. If you feed a person, but you don't introduce him to Christ, he's still lost, isn't he?
Well, the reason we do this is because Christ saved us.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm compelled. And it is it's a compulsion. Because I know Jesus, because he saved me, I am compelled to help other people. And I talk to kids all the time, and I say, if you're a believer, If you believe in Jesus Christ, if he has saved you and you have asked him into your heart and you don't feel compelled to come out of your world and to help those around you, there's something wrong with your faith.
There's something wrong.
There's something wrong. If you don't feel this, if you can just sit back stone cold or stone faced and not help a hurting world, there's something drastically wrong with you.
Christian, you said in my office a few minutes ago that you talked to somebody you probably don't want to name because he's well known, who said to you, there's not one gospel, there's two. Mm. And you strongly disagreed with that, and so do I. Yeah. Explain.
Yeah, the notion of the social gospel, if you want to call it that, is sometimes theologians have said over the years, well, there's the saving gospel and there's the social gospel. And the saving gospel is about redemption, and the social gospel is about impacting society and helping people. And these are both calls of the Christian. We should be advancing both. And I said, I just disagree with you. To a fairly shocked face looking back at me, I only see one gospel in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I see it, Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18, mm-hmm. that God saved us to be ambassadors, that Christ died for us. He made an appeal, and he calls for us to be ambassadors on his behalf, for him to make an appeal through us. And we talk about it in the book, but the notion is that as a believer, you're here for Christ to make an appeal through you. That's our focus. Our focus is what Christ has given us. Mm-hmm. And we don't get to decide, really, that we think it would be better just to help people, or we think it would be better to be seen as more loving and less judgmental. That's not our call to make. Our call is to say, okay, Lord, you saved me, and you've given me a calling, and that's to represent you on this earth. Now let me look at your life. And you don't have to go very far in Christ's life to say, this guy didn't have a home. He didn't have possessions. He gave himself all of the time to the people around him. He exhausted himself by giving and touching and healing. Mm. And so to come to that and say that that's not Christ, I don't need anything more than that. All I have to say is, Christ, I want to emulate you. I want people to see you in my life. And the leaders of these organizations, when you really get down to it with them, they say, man, everything we're doing is for people to see Christ. And maybe we don't have all the details worked out, and maybe you disagree with this part of that part. But at the end of the day, we want people to meet Christ.
You look at all of the scriptures. So many of the times he ministered to people, it's preceded by the statement, and he was moved with compassion.
Yes.
It was always driven by compassion. And when he did preach or teach, it would often be preceded by feeding them or by healing or something like that. That's our goal. That's what we want to emulate, is Christ's example.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think the other piece of this is a real misunderstanding of what love is. Because, and we talk about this in the book in terms of a concept called last breath equality. The idea being, you know, there used to be a bumper sticker that says the man that dies with the most toys still dies. Mm-hmm. And we write in the book, the man that dies with no toys dies too. Mm-hmm. And both of them are going to face their creator. And at that point, they're quite frankly equal in terms of their human standing. You know, neither of them is in poverty anymore or riches. You know, neither of them is sick. They both die the same way. They used to say we come into this world one way and we go out the same way. And it seems loving, but Proverbs 14:12 tells us there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it seems compassionate to love somebody by feeding them or giving them clothing. And you walk away thinking, I really love that person. Mm-hmm. But if you believe in heaven and hell and you believe that there will be judgment, and you don't share that with them, mm-hmm. have you loved them? Mm-hmm. Have you really loved them? Or have you just helped them out along their way to an eternity of separation from their creator? And that's the confusion around love. If I really, really love you, then I want to offer you something that's not just going to help you today, mm-hmm. but is going to help you for eternity. And if I don't do that in the name of compassion or the name of, you know, I don't want to offend anybody or I don't want to offend you, what have I really done?
It's like one of the early broadcasts with Lee Strobel. If mm-hmm. Jesus lived in my house, how differently would I act?
That's right.
And that's what we're talking about today.
Hmm. Well, Christian and Ryan, our time went by very quickly today. I think we made the case. The name of the book is Humanitarian Jesus, Social Justice and the Cross. And it's a very important point. We're right down to the end. You want to put a ribbon on it?
Well, I'll try. I think Ryan and my heart in writing this book was to give people a piece of meat, to say these are serious issues and it is not going to go away and it is going to be a bigger and bigger cultural discussion.
So we better theological
and theological
and, church.
And churches and yeah. politics. You're going to see it everywhere. So we better know what we believe and we better have the courage to stand up and say,
yeah.
these things go together. If you love Christ and you want to follow him, then you're going to love people who are hurting and suffering, but you're going to love them with the gospel.
And the bottom line for me is that our children and young people are at risk. There is an effort to change the theology that they have been taught in the church traditionally. And I believe that theology was and is accurate. It comes out of the scripture. You've got an open Bible in front of you right now. That's the foundation. That's the ground floor. That's the teaching of Jesus. And we dare not allow ourselves to be intimidated mm-hmm. into abandoning it because of a misunderstanding of who we are and what we stand for.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Dad, you know that one of my big, big things that I love to teach is Christian worldview. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love this subject, because my worldview flows in the same direction. There's no contradictory points in my worldview. And being compassionate about people and being passionate about the gospel both go in the same direction. And that's what I'm trying to teach kids over at the Summit and when I'm out on the road, is that you can be compassionate, you can be conservative, and your Christianity is compelling you into that movement.
Hmm. Well said, well done. Christian, thanks for coming. This is your first time on the broadcast, and you are an attorney. You graduated from UCLA. I try not to remember that.
Yep.
But you're involved in other humanitarian ventures, and someday when you come back, we'll talk about them.
It's been a blessing to be here. Thanks so much.
And again, the title of that book, Humanitarian Jesus, which we have available here at myfamilytalk.com. Ryan, that must have been a lot of fun to write that book.
It was. It was tons of fun for bunches of reasons, but one, it's because I got to write it with a good friend. Mm-hmm. And being able to spend time and talk on the phone about something I'm passionate about, especially for this next generation, the college and beyond demographic is so in tune to this, and so it was just a blast to do.
Ryan, we're almost out of time, but answer a question for me. Is it accurate to say that students are just getting out of college and going into the work world mm-hmm. and are maybe in their 30s now, are confused about the role that Christ would have us play in a hurting world?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the major purpose of why we wrote this. The debate has been skewed so left, so liberal, that we're bringing it back into perspective, that Christ came to save the lost, and he felt compassion towards the people around him.
And both assignments are essential.
Absolutely.
It's a great topic. And if you've been listening and you've been intrigued by this, give us a call and let us know. We love to hear from you, mm-hmm. interact with you. Tell us what kinds of things you'd like to hear us address here on Family Talk. Even give us some program suggestions. Our number, 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. Or you can write us, P.O. Box 51010, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80949.
Well, Ryan, thanks for writing this book and for your passion for this topic. And Christian, appreciate you being here. I would like to just remind people that Family Talk is a listener-supported program. That's the only way we can stay on the air. And if there are folks in our listening audience that would like to help us, we would certainly appreciate it.
And their prayers, Doctor. I know you've
Absolutely.
Often asked people to be on their knees for this ministry.
That's right. We always need people's prayers. If you would like to donate, you can do so over the phone, 877-732-6825, or online at myfamilytalk.com.
And in closing, I would like to tease tomorrow's broadcast because I think it's one that our listeners are really going to want to hear. We're going to honor the memory of those who lost their lives on September the 11th, 2001. Mm. And we're also going to discuss the controversy surrounding the proposed mosque to be built near Ground Zero. So this is a very important issue in our country, and I think it's time we talked about it as well.
Join us then.
Thank you.
Hi, Jim and Shirley. Margaret and Al Sanders here, just stopping by long enough to say thanks for 50 years of wonderful examples of Christian marriage.
This is Dr. John Ankerberg, host of The John Ankerberg Show. I want to wish Jim and Shirley Dobson God's continued blessings as they celebrate 50 years of marriage this year. It's been a real privilege to see their love for each other, their love for our Lord, and for our country.
And the staff here at Family Talk joins in adding our warmest congratulations. In honor of this amazing milestone in the Dobsons' life, we're pleased to release a special 50th anniversary edition of their devotional called Nightlight. It's co-written by Dr. Dobson and his wife Shirley, and for a $50 donation to this ministry, we would love to send you a copy autographed by both of them. Give us a call, 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825.